How's everybody doing today? I want to thank the people that wrote to me because I've been asking for some of your feedback about this show. It's all about food. And I still haven't heard from enough people. I got some wonderful messages, but you know what? I want more. I really want to know what people are thinking and what they like and what they don't like. Now, one of the fun things that I got from, I think, everybody who wrote me is that they really enjoy when my partner Gary joins me on the show. So guess what? Surprise! I'm bringing him on again today. Gary DeMattei, how are you?
Hi, Karen. Wow, what a great show that was.
Were you listening?
Yeah, Timothy's great. His book is phenomenal. I am a witness. I've seen the book. I've read the book with you. And Timothy, you're doing great work. Thanks so much. And you know what he was just saying? Hi, everybody. It's great to be back. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. Did you have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody?
Good. Everybody, I did. Yeah, next day that was a little crazy, but maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we should talk about that later. So, but what you and Timothy were talking about is really something I wanted to touch on too. And there's really no greater example of the creative process than cooking, don't you think?
And yes,
that's why I think so many artists make great cooks as well. And passionate cooks. And Timothy sounds like he's a very passionate guy, a very passionate cook. And I love what he said about just go to a farmer's market and pick up a squash and put it in the oven and throw some herbs on it and see what happens. And because there's really no talent in eating. I mean, we all,
no talent in eating.
No, or that's buying funny. buying pre-made food or going to a restaurant.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's easy to eat. We all eat, but it does take a little effort to prepare food.
It doesn't require any major talent to eat something that's already prepared for you, right? But there are so many people who have so much talent that they don't even know, and a great place to start is in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And see your talent, no pun intended, unearthed when you start to cook vegetables and see how many different varieties of vegetables there are. And for example, the apple, that's not a vegetable, but, and it's not a good segue, but how many people.
But you want to talk about apples.
Well, how many people bought an apple pie already made? And now where's the fun in that? And you know, I think that making an apple pie has been made difficult by so many people, but did you know that the first apple pie did not? Well, first of all, it's not an American thing. You know how everybody says it's as American as apple pie? It's not American. I mean, the apple that we use today for apple pie was brought over from Asia. And thousands of years ago, the apple was discovered in Asia. And then brought over by the folks that came over and colonized this place that's now called America. But the only indigenous apple here in what we now call America was the crab apple, and that's kind of inferior to pie making. And but the original apple pie didn't have sugar. Did you know that?
I didn't know any of this, Gary. This is all fascinating to me. Did anybody else know this?
So how simple is that? You cut up an apple and you bake it in the oven. And also the original crust wasn't edible. It was a shell that you weren't supposed to eat. And did you know that?
I remember reading something like that for meat, that some crusts were made to hold meat inside.
Right.
Yeah. But how wasteful is that? Why not make it so it's edible? So that's a good thing.
Some genius decided, well, let's eat the whole thing, the dish and the pie in the middle. But the reason I'm talking about apple pie is because you've just put up an incredible recipe that I would say is as simple as pie for anyone to make, because it doesn't require any sugar. It just requires a really good apple, right?
Yeah.
And the crust is as simple as blending a fat with a flour.
Yeah, I want. Can I talk about this?
Yeah,
thanks for
this
bringing
is,
that up.
This is, and, so, and you could also tell us what the name of it is.
I will.
Because you speak French. And
ah, ouais.
So go ahead. Take it away, Karen.
I did live in France for 4 years in the early 90s. But before I did, I had learned how to make a pie crust. And I could make an, quote, an American apple pie, even though it's not really originating from the United States. And then I went to France. And when I would go to some family barbecues, some friends having picnics and whatever at their home, there would be, someone would always put together a really fast tarte au pomme, which is an apple pie. It's only one crust, and it, and they would just like put sliced apples in it, and it was done, and they'd bake it. And then I started making my own. I've looked online to see how they're made traditionally. Some people might put a little applesauce in the bottom and then the apples on top, but I just slice the apples as thin as I can. I like using one of those round apple slicer things.
Right, those are fun.
An apple slicer. I didn't even know they existed, and then I saw one at a friend's house, but they make it a lot easier. You just slam it on the apple, and it removes the core and slices it into six pieces. And then you can make them even thinner.
Right.
And then, and you have a choice of how you might want to lay them out. If you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and see my tarte au pomme recipe, you can see how I laid it out. It kind of looks like a giant flower, maybe.
Right. It looks great. It's a beautiful picture. And
but there's no sugar.
It's right on the homepage. There's no sugar.
And one more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So I started making this gluten-free pie crust because, as I mentioned before, I'm avoiding wheat. And I never had a problem making a pie crust, but I know some people do. You have to chop the fat into cold bits and then knead it with the dough and then add a little bit of water. And it has to be like just right. And then you roll it out. But this gluten-free pie crust is easier.
Right.
I do it all in a food processor. I throw everything into the food processor. The dough comes out, and I put it between two pieces of parchment paper. It's very forgiving. So you can roll it, and if something's breaking or whatever, you just peel it and stick it somewhere else. It's a very friendly, easy-to-roll dough, and it's gluten-free. And I have a recipe that uses confectioner's sugar, but this time I didn't want to use any refined sugar, so I made one without. And the only thing I want to say is when you're making a sweet crust with gluten-free flour, I recommend a gluten-free flour that isn't made with beans. Like we use Bob's Red Mill all-purpose gluten-free flour, and it has a base of garbanzo bean flour in it, which is great, but it has a beany taste. And you can add other seasonings and things to mask it. But when you're making it sweet, the confectioner's sugar does a pretty good job of masking that beany flavor. But Bob's Red Mill also has a one-to-one all-purpose gluten-free flour, and that's not bean-based. And I find that that's better for sweet pastries, but they're both fine. But they're just easy. That's the point. They're easy.
So there's a gluten-free flour, Bob's Red Mill, and there's a one-to-one. But they're both gluten-free.
Yes, correct.
I gotcha. And then for a while, you were making your own mix, and people can do that. A lot of people I know that are already well into gluten-free baking make their own mix. But the Bob's Red Mill is a great place to start, and they do have a nice variety of grains and ground gluten-free flours and things like that in there. And we like them here at Responsible Eating Living, right?
Yes, we do.
And I liked what you said, that Timothy Packron, Mrs. B. Vegan's cookbook was page lickable. That was good. That was good. And I would say this tarte au pomme. How do you pronounce it again?
Tarte au pomme.
Tarte au pomme.
And I want to add, that we buy organic apples. You should always buy organic apples.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
You don't have to peel them. My tarte au pomme, all my apple pies, I never peel the apples. The apples are nutritious, and as soon as you cook them, they get soft. You don't even know they're there.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my next point, is that you don't need sugar when you buy a really great organic apple. And I really have never had a bad organic apple. I've had many bad apples that haven't been organic, but never one that's been organic. And they're all so sweet. There's something really special. Now, again, it could be the placebo effect, which we've talked about before on the show, but I don't think so. I really don't. So I encourage everyone out there to buy organic. And occasionally when you can't buy organic, make sure it's locally grown. Like Timothy said, go to a farmer's market, buy from a local grower. And this holiday season, buy locally, buy your holiday gifts locally as well. Find a small boutique somewhere run by someone that wants that has the entrepreneurial spirit, and or go to one of these trade shows. We have friends who go to these shows and sell their wares. Go buy art that's been painted by a local artist that's sitting there along the boardwalk or somewhere where they're painting. And I mean, some of the work is really amazing. And try not to shop at big, huge corporations.
Yeah, we talked about this before, but I want to remind everyone that we are citizens in a community and we are not consumers, although our government and corporations are considering us as consumers. We really need to think of ourselves as part of a community, citizens of community. And if you want to buy a gift for someone, it shouldn't just be because you have to and you just get anything to be a consumer.
Right. We really should be, you know, and I don't want to get preachy because
we're preaching.
Which is all about food. But the reason it sounds a bit preachy might be because my next comment is about being of service. And there's no greater service than going into your kitchen and cooking your family a meal. And yes, patronizing a small restaurant, buying a meal from your local diner that you know the folks, the owners of, that's also doing a nice thing as well. Barack Obama said it best, I think. The best way to not feel hopeless is to get up and do something. Don't wait for good things to happen to you. If you go out and make some good things happen, you will fill the world with hope. You will fill yourself with hope. And, you know, today is, I guess, the elephant in the room. The vegan elephant in the room is today is Giving Tuesday. And so, yes, Karen and I run this nonprofit. What is Giving Tuesday? Okay, Giving Tuesday was created by the team at the Belfer Center for Innovation and Social Impact at the 92nd Street Y, which is right here in New York City. And that's a cultural center, and it's been there since 1874. And it's been bringing people together around the values of service and giving back. So they came up with, along with someone else, and I don't really remember who that was right now, but it was another organization. They came up with Giving Tuesday, which is basically the statement on their website says that it connects diverse groups of individuals, communities, and organizations around the world for one common purpose, to celebrate and encourage giving. Okay, I won't go on and read. You've obviously been Giving Tuesday if you're on social media right now, because that's how this thing happened. It was a result of social media. So you're seeing all the posts about Giving Tuesday. Well, our organization provides information to you at no charge to you that is truthful information. This is real information, which is why we call our organization Responsible Eating and Living. We give you the truth, the real truth about your food and how it gets to you and how you can protect yourself from people who are trying to poison you. Hence the discussion of organic versus non-organic. Now, trust me, I grew up in a family where if it said organic on it, they wouldn't buy it because they thought it meant something fancy schmancy and they wanted just, you know, to support just conventional produce. And but what you're missing the point if you don't see what's really happening with your food And we're here to tell you what's happening with it. And we do a lot of research. We're a small organization. And yeah, your donations, your tax-deductible donations would help. But that's not the point. I'm not bringing it up for that reason. What I am bringing it up for is that there's a lot of organizations out there that are going to be asking for your money. Make sure you know what they do. And if your best interest is at the center or is at the spine of their mission statement, and here at Responsible Eating and Living, your best interest is at the heart of why we're doing this organization. We want you to know the truth about your food. And that connecting the dots, the truth about how your food gets to your supermarket. How much pain and suffering does your food go through before it gets to you? And when I'm just talking about the animals, which is a no-brainer, they suffer and they are sacrificed for your table. I'm also talking about vegetables and the farmers who pick them. How much suffering do they go through? And when you're picking vegetables all day for a living and those vegetables are covered in poison, that's affecting the person who is picking those vegetables.
It's also affecting their families, because if they don't have the proper protective coverings, and many of them don't, they come home and they bring it all into the house.
Right. And like we talked about last week on It's All About Food, right before Thanksgiving, there's nothing more beautiful than organic farming. That with the Three Sisters dish that we talked about, and the working in cooperation with the soil and having one plant shade the ground and another plant provide a climbing mechanism for another vine so that you don't have to go into the fields and put bean poles and do a bunch of other stuff. It's just as natural as you can possibly make it, while also having to control the environment that the plants are grown in. So, and then the bugs eat certain, and organic farming is just amazing, the whole concept. And makes so much sense. Anyway, this is Giving Tuesday. I wanted you to know a little bit about that, because whether you give to us or give to another organization, know what's at the heart of that organization. Know if they exist to be of service, which is why we exist, or if they're just there for their own self-interest. In which case, how do you find out? Well, you just have to do some research. Anyway.
Yeah, that's great. I just want to echo what you're saying. It feels good to give. It feels good to give. And this is not exactly the same thing, but I was just at a lunch yesterday with a distant cousin of mine, and he ended up treating us all to lunch, which we didn't know. And a few of the people at the table were just like fighting with him, like, no, you can't. And I finally said, some people get joy from giving. Let them have that joy.
It's true. It's very true. People, you feel good after you give. You feel better after you give than after you take. And yet so many people need you to give right now. So, but let's talk a little bit about the upcoming holidays.
Oh, yes.
Speaking
please.
Of our website. So there's something like 21 holidays celebrated this time of year. And a lot of them are centered around religion. And there are a lot more than just two or three religions. So I'm sure that those of you who have your own holiday traditions don't need to hear about mine. But if you want ideas on how to celebrate the holidays, let's say, for example, I come from a Italian Catholic upbringing, and we have this thing called Christmas Eve, and traditionally it was a day of fasting or a night of fasting. So instead of eating, meat dishes, the tradition was to eat big feasts of fish, and that's really funny because
and that was the fast.
So there was the Feast of the Seven Fishes, right? Well, I did a vegan version of the Feast of the Seven Fishes, and I call it the Feast of the Seven Dishes. And you'll be able to see that soon on our slider on the homepage. But just go to Responsible Eating and Living and hit in the search bar Feast of the Seven Dishes, and you'll see a seven-course feast that we've actually made here with all kinds of amazing substitutes for all of these fish dishes that a lot of people have on Christmas Eve around the world.
Let me add that on our homepage, on the right-hand side, if you scroll down a little bit, there's the Real Recipe Index. And we do have a holidays section. You can click on Christmas or Hanukkah and see what we have for the winter holidays.
But I want you guys to check out both the Hanukkah dish that we have and the Feast of the Seven Dishes, because you'll really get a lot of great ideas, because you're going to be having people come over and they're going to have different food allergies. They're going to have different, you know, restrictions. No, I can't have this. No, I can't have that. You might even get a vegan or two showing up to your house. Now, before you kick them out because you have nothing for them, check out our website. We have a lot of recipes. And same goes for Hanukkah. Karen, talk to us about your fabulous baked potato pancake
recipe. I can't believe it's that time of year already. Yeah. It's time for baked potato pancakes. And we put together a video a few years ago making these baked potato pancakes. We're moving more and more to more whole foods, less processed, less sugar, oil, and salt kinds of food, but we still want to make them full of flavor and delicious. And the potato pancake is traditionally grated potatoes and onions, maybe a few other things, and deep fried. Yeah, and it takes a long time. It messes up the kitchen. Everything is oily and greasy, and I'm over it. But baked potato pancakes have all of that wonderful flavor and richness of the potato and the onions. You can add a little bit of oil to it, but you don't have to deep fry it. It's so much easier to make, and I think it's a lot of fun. You can make your own homemade applesauce. You can make a vegan sour cream or something like that to serve with it. But they're easy. They're fun. And we have this great video where you can watch it. And, you know, I'm thinking, too, Gary.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Are you there? For Thanksgiving, I made turnip cakes.
Oh, I was just going to talk about the turnip cakes.
Oh, you were. Great minds, yeah, Gary.
I think
I mentioned it last week that I was going to try and make them, and I made them, and they're fantastic. And I'm talking
so
about it because traditionally the Chinese turnip cake, it does have pork and other, or it might have fish in it, but of course we made a vegan version. It's just grated turnips, water, and rice flour, and it thickens, and then you let it solidify, and then you're supposed to fry it or saute it, which I tried a few just because I wanted to see what it was like. It was a disaster. And then Gary had the great idea, bake them. So we baked them just kind of like the baked potato pancakes, and they're fantastic. So I'll post a recipe soon, but
the
turnip
so good.
Is a new addition to our menu.
Yeah, and it's the same concept as the you chefs out there will probably already be one step or two steps ahead of us. So it's the same concept. You know, you're grating the turnips and you're adding the rice flour to it, and then you're steaming it. You have to steam it first, so you put it in a bain. Again, Karen, the French for bain.
Bain-Marie.
Yeah, a water bath. Marie's bath.
Yeah.
After Marie got out of the bath, they cooked in it. I don't know. Don't ask me. That just popped into my head. I don't know why. But anyway, and then you bake it after you slice it. And it was phenomenal. Okay. So why do you want to go plant-based for the holidays? Why do you want to start? Because of kindness and compassion towards all living things, right? I mean, is that too corny to say? No. Cesar Chavez said it best. Here I am, the curator of quotes. I have to go out with a quote. Kindness and compassion towards all living things is a mark of a civilized society. Conversely, cruelty, whether it is directed against human beings or against animals, is not the exclusive province of any one culture or community of people. Thank you, Senor Chavez. Okay.
Thank you, Gary DeMattei. I also wanted to add, we have like a minute left or a minute or two. I'm around a lot of people that I care about, a lot of people that I love, and we all have aging parents, and we see what they are falling to. Could be a heart disease, heart attack, diabetes. My mom has dementia. Right after Thanksgiving, she had a mini stroke. We were in the hospital for 4 days. And we know that food is a major contributor to chronic disease. And so I ask myself, why wouldn't other people that I know and love that see these things falling to their parents, why wouldn't they be jumping on eating as healthy as they possibly can? I ask you that, my listeners. Why? Fear. Yeah, fear. I mean, that should be the clearest motivation, that you don't want to fall
especially
apart.
when you see that they've taken a CT scan of your mom's arteries and they're filled with plaque. And what's the thing that fills your arteries with plaque, Karen?
Animal food.
Animal foods, right. And so, and that stops the flow to your brain of the blood, and that's what causes the dementia and the strokes and all of that. So if you are a narcissist, the first thing I would think that you'd want to do is go plant-based so that your arteries don't fill up with plaque.
Exactly. Narcissists should go vegan. Anyway, yeah. We're out of time once again. And
that's a great way to end it.
I want to end on a delicious note. We have just so many wonderful, delicious recipes for you to eat healthier, be healthier, enjoy yourself, and I hope you check some of them out. And thank you, Gary, for joining me. Everybody have a really delicious week. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Find us at Responsible Eating and Living. And if you have a few more pennies left for Giving Tuesday, you can go over to our website and maybe share a few with us. We'd appreciate that. Again, Bye. Have a delicious week.
Bye, Karen. We'll be right back.